This presentation has been previously broadcast.
Well, hey, thanks for joining me. Let's pray the chaplet of divine mercy. All right, we'll pray. I want to thank Maggie for sitting in with John Harper. I meant to thank John, too. Great job on the chaplet. And John, thank you for anchoring the broadcast as you do in my absence. Always good to have John Harper behind the microphone. Got lots of positive feedback on John and on Maggie. So it's good to be back. We'll be here with you. Maggie's going to be praying with me again today. And we'll take your calls. If you're on hold, I will get you on the air, at least do my very best to do that. If you have an intention and you're saying, Drew, I'm too shy to go on the radio or I don't want to really say it publicly, you can send it to us on our Twitter page, at Drew Mariani Show. Maggie will bring it forward during the third decade of our chaplet today. So feel free to send it. You can go to my homepage at Relevant Radio. I think you can put it up there too on the Twitter page, or just go to Twitter. I know some people don't have Twitter, but you can do that. Of course, continue to send me your answered prayers. All right. Send me those prayers that are coming in. We could certainly rejoice in how good God has been. In fact, a couple things I want to just start off with and thank God for some of these answered prayers that we've already seen. This person says, look, Drew, I've been praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet for my daughter. She suffers from kidney stones and has had surgery twice last year to remove them. Oh, my gosh, how horrible, huh? She says her last CAT scan showed that the stones were back. Yesterday, she had a doctor's appointment. Went into the doctor's. We had prayed the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and was told no surgery was needed. Come back in a year for a checkup. They said, we are so grateful for them and relieved. We just want to thank God, thank you, and the Relevant Radio family for the power of these prayers. So we'll continue to pray. Another person says, I don't know if you saw my last email, but I want to follow up with you, Drew. Thank you. And thank you for your prayers. My daughter, who is an actor, finally got a small role in an upcoming show with Colin Farrell. I asked you to pray for her. Your prayers are so powerful. Thank you. I swear this is a miracle. It's been 6 years since she graduated from college. She's been hoping to work as an actor so that she can be self-sufficient and live her dream. She's waiting to hear about her latest audition, which I ask your prayers for. She needs the work and wants to. Please also pray for my neighbor, Rory, who is struggling with bone marrow cancer. So we will certainly do that. Congratulations, Kathleen. It's a great answer prayer to have a job like that. I think it's fantastic. I want to pray for Father Frank Pavone today, who is going through a tremendous storm, to say the least. Pray for all those who are working to advance a culture of life. Let's pray for our bishops, too, who are our shepherds and who look out for their flock and who look out for the best interest of the church. So we need to pray for protection against the wickedness, the deceptions, the evil, the traps of Satan, who is really your enemy and the enemy of all who try to do good and support life. So we'll lift up those prayers and this things work out. God has a way of working things out. If I have time, maybe I'll share with you a great story. I just told my daughter this morning of a man I knew in prison and something he just shared with me. But let me bring Maggie in. Maggie, good to have you back. Thanks for praying yesterday. Anything you want to pray for?
You're welcome, Drew. Yeah, it was fun to pray the chaplet with John. I have a couple of prayer intentions. One of the engineers came up to me earlier and asked for specific prayers for Matt Beardsley, one of our engineers on staff, and also a friend from Daily Mass. His name is Brian Masterson. He said that he has a big scan scheduled tomorrow morning. He's praying for good results, and also he's praying to get matched to a research study for immunotherapy treatments and healing. So I want to lift him up. He's got really beautiful faith, so I trust that God's going to take care of him.
We'll certainly lift him up.
Yeah,
lift up all the intentions you have, continuing to pray for your mom. And let's pray for you right now as well. All right, I want to pray for whatever your intentions are. There's lots of other prayer intentions that have come in. Maybe I should lift this one up too. This person said, would you pray the chaplet? Ask your prayer warriors to please pray for my friend Margaret. She's 66 years old. She's got a brain bleed. I'm told by family she's not expected to live. She's 30-year-old colon cancer survivor, has been afflicted and has afflicted many members of her family. Please pray for her brother Joe, his stage 4 colon cancer. Asking prayers for healing with everyone who has cancer, and she signs it, Jesus, I trust in you. My daughter told me a story this morning. She's the one down in Houston, and she's up visiting for Christmas. And she says she was dealing with some of the youth that she deals with. And a girl says, could you pray for my father? He was really sick. And he went to the doctors. They didn't know what was wrong with him. He just felt ill. They couldn't identify anything that was the matter with this guy at all. So around Thanksgiving, he wakes up and his stomach is all bloated, right? So they go into the hospital to get checked. And the man was diagnosed not only with cancer, but it was all throughout his body. He died 3 days later. The girl came up to him and said, please pray for my dad. My daughter reached out to him and says, I've been praying for your father. How's he doing? He was young guy, maybe 40 years old, maybe. Dead in 3 days. So you do not know the day or the hour. I mean, it's so strange. I mean, the hospitals clearly missed this one because he had been feeling ill. He just couldn't diagnose what's wrong. But God has a time for all of us. Let's put our hands in his, let's put our lives in his merciful hands now. And let's pray. We'll pray for each other, and we'll invoke the great intercession of Our Lady, the Mother of Mercy, St. Faustina, all the angels and saints, especially St. Joseph, as we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, our first call today comes from Anne. She's listening to us, praying with us, actually, in Fresno, California. Hi, Anne.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I would like to ask for prayers for our grandson, who has special needs. He's having emergency surgery on his eyes on Wednesday. We don't know exactly what's going on. That the surgery be completely successful and he does not lose any sight. I would ask for a miracle if he doesn't have to have the surgery. But I would also like to ask for prayers for all special needs children in the world who need so much, as our grandson does.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear he's got to go through that. Let's pray. Let's pray for that miracle, Anne. All right, God is good. He is merciful. And he can very easily touch that child, restore him to complete health and vitality. He may so choose to use the fruit of our intellect and the medicine and the technology that we've been given. So, Lord, I just ask for good results. I pray for this grandmother. I pray for this emergency eye surgery. I pray for anybody today having vision problems, anyone who's lost their sight. Lord, anyone who just needs that miracle, anyone who's suffering right now from glaucoma, anyone who's just facing surgery for your healing. You are the divine physician. Be the hands of those surgeons and restore, heal. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole
world. For the sake sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Antonio is praying with us in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Antonio, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi, Antonio.
I'd like to pray for my family and my mom.
What a wonderful prayer. Okay, well, we will certainly pray for them. Is your mom okay? Is your family okay? Or just seeking just general prayer?
Yeah.
Okay. My producer's telling me Antonio is 6 years old. Hey, Antonio, you're going to have a great Christmas. I'm rooting for you, okay? Let's pray and ask God for that Christmas miracle for your mom and for your family. I'm not quite sure what's going on. They're telling me that his family is sick. So prayers of a child are powerful because they're innocent and they're pure. And I know they go right to the throne of God. And Lord, I just ask you to hear the prayers of this little child. I don't know what the family's going through right now, but I give to you his family in a special way, his mother. This little boy needs her. And I pray for all those who have trouble in their families this Christmas time, where parents are separated from children and children from their parents, where there's sickness, where there's illness, where there's division. But I pray for unity and healing this Christmas for families as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Carol, before we go to Carol, she's our third caller today. Let me go to Maggie. Maggie is, of course, monitoring your Twitter intentions. So if you can't get through on the phones or you just have a real urgent intention, send it to Maggie at Drew Mariani Show. At Drew Mariani Show. You can also follow me at Drew Mariani. Please go and do that. And Maggie, what's coming in?
Drew, we've gotten a lot of tweets over the weekend and earlier today asking for prayers for Father Frank Pavone. So I want to lift that up.
Yeah.
Cass from Pennsylvania has a special intention for her family that she would like to lift up. Marilyn is asking for prayers for Sister Mary Juliana, who goes in tomorrow for surgery on a jaw that rheumatoid arthritis took over.
Wow.
She has no cartilage and her bones are crumbling.
Oh, how horrible.
She is a principal at St. Rose Academy in Birmingham, Alabama. The surgeon has done hundreds of these surgeries. They're hoping that he does his best work with Sister Mary. So I want to lift up that sweet woman.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Jen is asking for prayers during the Divine Mercy Chaplet. She says, please may my St. Andrew Christmas novena be answered favorably. And lastly, Maria is praying in thanksgiving for the prayers that we offered up for her daughter's surgery. Her spinal fusion on Friday went very well.
Praise God. That's great. Yeah. That's awesome. That's great. How are you doing with your St. Andrew novena?
Here's the deal. I forgot, I think, 2 days so far. But what I do is I pray extra, and I always say, Lord, I'm offering up these extra prayers for anyone that may have forgotten to pray today. So I'm like, oh, maybe those are retroactive for me.
No, God's good. He's merciful. He understands. I can never get through it. I forget too often that particular prayer. So that's a tough one. But I pray for the good results. I mean, a lot of people are praying that St. Andrew Novena. So I just do ask you to hear the prayers of everyone crying out to you in this moment. You know their needs and what's best for them and their desires and the graces that they need and their temporal struggles. And I just give you all who are united with me in prayer. And I thank you because I know you have encouraged souls to trust in your mercy. And you said if we had complete trust in you, that you'll do everything for us. So I'm so grateful for that. I ask that you show them in very visible ways those answered prayers. Carol in Wisconsin, thanks for joining us.
Yes, hi, Drew.
Hi, Carol.
I'm I'm calling to, I have terrible anxiety. I can hardly function. And I have some depression, and I'm praying for my family that they come back to the church and get their, and two of them have children that they, I wish they'd get them baptized.
Yeah.
And I just need help with my extreme anxiety. I can, like I say, I can hardly function and have some depression, but the anxiety is really bad.
And Carol, have you seen a doctor about it?
Yes, I have. I'm going to three doctors.
Oh, wow.
And
covered
my goal is to make it to church for Christmas.
Well, let's pray for that.
I haven't been to church.
You haven't been to church in how long?
Oh, maybe almost a year.
Wow.
Maybe not quite a year, but. A long time.
How about this, Carol? Just a little bit of a suggestion. This is the best way for me to put it. I know you're struggling. You're crippled by this anxiety and this fear and this depression. You know, we're going to pray you get to Mass this Sunday for Christmas for sure. But here's the thing. Here's my suggestion. You know, why don't you spend some quiet time with the Lord? Go to adoration. Go in an off time. Go late at night or go early in the morning or go in the afternoon when nobody's there. When I go to adoration, sometimes there's no one there. And just sit there with the Lord. Ask him to help you with your anxiety. I often quote Isaiah 41:10 because I just love that verse. It's the Lord says, do not fear. Do not fear. I'm with you. The Lord says, don't be anxious. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Over and over again throughout Scripture, we hear this. The saints knew this, right? Secret to happiness, St. Giannamola says, is just to live moment by moment. Thank God for what he's given you, and don't worry about the future. All right, so Carol, I'm going to pray for you because you're not alone. There's a lot of people who suffer with crippling anxiety, depression, with fear, who are overcome by their circumstances. Lord, I just ask you to lift that heavy cloak from this woman and you free her, you restore her. And anyone else who's struggling with anxiety, this very moment, Lord, I ask that those graces reach those souls. And I pray that she this Christmas can receive you, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. And that can be her medicine. That can give her complete health and restoration. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Ophelia. They're praying with us in Pomona, California. Hi, Ophelia.
Hi, Drew. Blessings to you and everyone at Revel in Radio.
Thanks.
I have a prayer of Thanksgiving. My brother-in-law, my husband's brother, he came down with colon cancer, and he's after radiation and chemo treatments. He just found out on Friday that he's cancer-free for right now. He's in remission.
Wow, praise God. That's
so
great
praise
news.
Our Lord for that.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. And I also have a prayer request.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's co-worker's husband, he fell on his back and he burned his back with some hot plates. He works in construction. Wow. He's been having several surgeries at the burn center. And now I just want complete healing for this man and for his wife and the entire family, what they're going through, especially in this holiday season.
Well, thank you, Ophelia. I want to pray for you, too. I know you didn't mention anything personally, but I want to lift up all of your heart's intentions. And you know, it's a tough time of year, isn't it? You have an accident like this, a tragedy, suffering, especially at Christmas. Lord, I just ask that you hear Ophelia's prayers. We pray for this man. I want to pray for all burn victims and all those who are victims of accident and tragedy. I want to pray for those today, too. This just came to me who are having suicidal ideations. Lord, I pray for those families who have lost loved ones by suicide, but I just ask you, hold back the hand of that mother wanting to terminate her child or that person who is intending to harm themselves. Eternal Father, We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll see if I can sneak a couple calls here in the last decade. We'll go to Mary praying with us in Mammoth Lakes, California. Hi, Mary.
Thank you, Drew. Real quick. They put hardwood floors on top of our condo with no soundboard, and we literally don't sleep many times at night.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. That's punishment. That's torture. Wow.
And it's... Thank you.
You got it. Well, you know, let's pray for carpeting on that complex above you, right? I mean, that's... I'm surprised they would do that. You know, hardwood floors throughout the complex, because if you're in a lower unit, you hear everybody walking... my son was in a complex somewhere, in a place where they had wood floors, and you know, he barely move, and it sounds like he has a party in his life. The neighbor below is like, hey. So Lord, I pray for peace amongst neighbors. I pray for resolution, especially to this particular intention. I pray for anyone who's sleep deprived, anyone who has insomnia, and anybody who is really having trouble with their sleep. I give you all the intentions that she's voiced. I know it's a small one, big one for her, but I give you all of the intentions that she has in her heart. Tom's in Fort Myers, Florida. Tom, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. I'm calling.
Tom, I think I lost you. I don't hear you.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
I'm calling on behalf of a friend whose husband has cancer.
Okay. All right, well, let's lift that up then. Lift him up. He's got six kids, Maggie's telling me right now.
Yeah, he's got six kids. Three are doctors. He's a retired surgeon.
Wow.
But they're at that last stage where if this doesn't work, there's nothing they can do. So I'm holding out a 50-gallon drum.
I love it. I love it, Tom. Please. I love it. I love it. Encourage souls to come to me, right? Trust in my mercy. I'll do everything for them, the Lord says. Lord, we hold out that big cup that we often talk about, that bucket, that 50-gallon drum that Tom's holding out for a real miracle here. And I just ask for anyone who's in the fight for cancer, you give them a reprieve. Lord, just envelop them in your mercy and in your healing. Sandra in Chicago, we'll add you to Tom's call. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm so upset and frustrated. My mom is in a nursing home. And, you know, for so long they kept them locked down. And they're continuing to keep them locked down to where you can't visit in the rooms upstairs still. And they're claiming it's the state and it's not the state. My parents escaped communism, Drew. And all this is, all these lockdowns is just going to make people crazy and get dementia and Alzheimer's. It ruins people's lives. And my mom's been vaccinated five times and she managed to get COVID twice.
Oh, boy.
You know, I understand people are very scared, and I'm very sorry for those people who are very scared of COVID. We need to get on with our lives. People need to be able to go in and see their loved ones, be able to go and clean their rooms for them, take care of their parents, their elderly parents. And this lockdown thing, and I want to pray for the woman who called before and said that she has anxiety. I'm so sorry for her. Please go to church on Christmas. In fact, I hope she goes to Mass tomorrow.
Amen to that. I love it. Well, Sandra, let's pray for your mom, okay? Let's pray for your mother who's in a restricted nursing home, and I'm sure good intentions are at work, but Lord, I just ask for a remedy to this. I pray for Sandra, who's clearly feeling the stress and the pressure from this as well, and I just ask that you intervene, especially for the homebound, the elderly, those who need family and support and loved ones. I pray for those who have no one in their lives especially, and I just ask for your great mercy for those souls. And Lord, I give you everyone on hold, Gloria and Debbie and Fernando and Bob and Cindy and Donna and Tom and all everyone else. Lord, I give you all those who are praying with me and all those who've written. I just gather all of us together here and we stand before the foot of your divine Son. And I ask that grace flow, that healing takes place, that financial blessings ensue, that relationships are mended, that miracles in these impossible situations and lives of so many take place. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You've heard a lot about Father Frank Pavone. Boy, that news lit up the Twitter sphere and the internet like crazy. We come back. I just want to touch on it. I think we've said, hey, Father Pavone clearly needs prayer. We'll look at that. We'll look at so much more, too. There's some good news there. Abortion in Texas dropped 97% in the month after Roe v. Wade. So stay with me. When we come back, we'll talk about that and more.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, hey, we need to pray for Father Frank Pavone. I know the man. I think his heart is really in the right place. He's calling out a great and modern evil, the sin of abortion. And you might have caught the news that, over the weekend, word is out that he's been laicized. Father Pavone is saying that that's not the case. Father Pavone he's a good man. The question of obedience comes into question here, and I do want to talk a little bit about that with you too, because it's a tough one. St. Faustina talked about it, and of course, Padre Pio encountered it, and all the great saints did. The situation with Father Pavone, the news came out Saturday night. My text, my phone lit up. You know, everybody from my colleague Patrick Madrid to my producer Tom to people all over saying, hey, did you hear the latest news? Did you hear the latest news? The word came out that the Vatican stripped him of his priesthood. The Vatican is what they're saying. So there's a lot of anger around this in some quarters. I got a lot of emails as well from you saying, what's the matter with this pope? What's the matter with these bishops? There's a lot of rejoicing also in other quarters. But the first thing to know about the situation is that it's not black and white. You know, it isn't a matter of some bad bishop or some bishop coming down on a righteous pro-life priest. There have been a lot of issues dealing with Father Pavone, issues that have transcended, I think, a lot of categories. And look, I've been following the controversy. I've never really talked about it on the air. I don't think it does any good to vilify a priest. I think the secular media does enough to do that, right? Our culture does enough to malign and belittle them. So when this happens, it's a wound on the entire priesthood. And part of me is like, I just want to stay away from it. But response to the show has been so overwhelming. I do want to touch on it with you. There are those who are comparing Father Pavone's situation that of Father James Martin, the Jesuit priest who openly supports teachings that oppose the church's teaching on sexual issues. Father Martin is not acting in disobedience to his religious superiors, and you can say what you want about that, but his Jesuit superiors have seen fit to discipline him in whatever way they feel necessary, if they even have. I don't think they have, to be honest with you. I don't think he's even been disciplined. Father Pavone, on the other hand, has wanted to keep his organization, Priest for Life, away from the scrutiny of his superiors. That's not a good way for a priest to behave. It makes his superiors think he's got something to hide. But Father Pavone was accepted from bishop to bishop, too. I think many of our shepherds saw the goodness and the noble work that he was involved with. He went from one bishop to another looking for someone who was supportive. He was ordained by Cardinal O'Connor of New York, who was supportive but came under scrutiny by Cardinal Egan. He then transferred to the Diocese of Amarillo in Texas under Bishop John Yonta. But then when Bishop Patrick Zurich became bishop there, Father Pavone would again not submit to his authority, and it became so bad that the bishop there actually called him incorrigible. So what appears to set off this whole process, and that's just a little history, a little background. And look, I don't know all the details. I am just sharing with you what has been reported and what we've been following, right? Again, Father Pavone's going to appeal this. What appears to have set off the whole process was a video in which Father Pavone, during the presidential campaign, the 2020 campaign for then Donald Trump, He made a video, and in his effort to make clear that Joe Biden has serious problems with abortion, that he considered Trump to be the choice for pro-lifers, he put the corpses of an aborted child on the table. And the table was dressed as an altar and told people that they should vote for Trump. And in later tweets, Pavone used language that was, in my own opinion, kind of unbecoming of a priest. I understand his passion. I do. But this is all part of that storm that was brewing. And I said a bit ago, you know, it appears that those are the actions that set the whole process in motion. At the moment, we really don't know. And I know there's a lot of rumors, a lot of speculation floating around. I think we all are best served. And I think Father Pavone is too. If we just pray for him and sit back and wait for the documents to be made public till we find out really what went down. A lot of news reporting out there. And I'm doing the same thing right now. I'm sharing with you what I know. I encourage you to pray. Pray for Father Pavone. And not just him. Pray for your priest, your parish priest. Pray for your bishop, right? Satan hates the priesthood. He has incredible enmity for the priesthood. Hates it. Hates it with a passion. And he never rests. He never sleeps. He's always on the prowl. You need to pray for the pro-life movement, too, because Satan has suffered a tremendous defeat with the overturn of Roe, and he's furious. The devil is going to use whatever ways he can to divide the church and divide the movement. And God is still in charge of his church. He's the one who brings everything to light, and God will bring good out of this situation. I was thinking about that. Poor Father Pavone at Christmas, he's probably wondering, how the heck will God ever bring good out of this situation that he's in? I see at the heart of this whole life movement, a dark spirit. You know, there was an exorcist who, during one of the exorcisms he was involved with, this demoniac expressed things that, well, the priest asked, what most displeases, you know, the demons? And in the name of Jesus, this demon confessed what they liked most and disliked more. In short, the demon hates confession, where Christ washes your soul with his precious blood. He hates the Eucharist, right? Hates Eucharistic adoration. You know, the Eucharist feeds us with the body and blood. He hates any love of Mary, a prayer of the rosary. He hates the apparitions of the Virgin that lead to confession. You know what else he hates? And this was so interesting, because I can understand the sacraments, I can understand the Virgin Mary. This one really struck. Two things. One, the prayer of contemplative souls, you and me, right? And the contemplatives, those in cloisters as well, but he hates prayer. Okay, so that's one of the things he really hates. But here's the other one that struck me, and I want to talk about this. He hates obedience. Of all the things, the Eucharist, adoration, the Virgin, right? Prayer. Obedience. He hates obedience. Obedience to the Pope and representatives of Christ's church. And, you know, I think there's an important lesson here for all priests and for you and me as well, to submit to the legitimate authority above us. There's a very famous story of Padre Pio. And in the case of Padre Pio, again, Satan hated his work. Think about how many souls were coming to see him, seeking confession and his counsel. Think about how many souls in purgatory were being freed, right? And there was a bishop there who railed constantly against Padre Pio. He took the calls all the way to the Vatican. And the campaign was joined by several other powerful members of the church's kind of inner circles. And it led to mandates that limited Padre Pio, this future saint, this man who lost a pint of blood a day, who battled the evil, right? Who was probably one of the greatest mystics of the 20th century, maybe in the past, you know, 1,000 years. Among the sanctions that were put on him, not just limiting his priestly duties, he was not allowed to come in, you know, to counsel. You know, they disallowed him from showing or discussing his stigmata. They prohibited him from blessing the crowd from his window. What's wrong with him blessing the crowd from his window? At one point, there had been a move to move Padre Pio away from San Giovanni Rotunda, where he was, maybe relocating him all the way across the ocean. This is back in like 1930, right? 1920-something. They were going to relocate him to America. So in the early 1930s, Pio, and of course, by the way, he's been canonized, right? He was stripped of all of his faculties. Padre Pio was stripped of his priestly faculties, except for the celebration of Mass. He could only have Mass in his friary's inner chapel. That was it. You talk about a man who was suffering, right? So one of Padre Pio's best friends and his confessor for more than 50 years is a priest by the name of Padre Agostino Daniele, right? And he charged this other priest, this bishop who was attacking Padre Pio. He says, this is a satanic war. These are exaggerations. These are calumnies, you know? And he wanted Padre Pio to go and to fight this. He wanted him to defend himself. So bad was the situation, a number of priests in the archdiocese petitioned Pius XI to end what they saw as disordered immorality. That's what they called it, or clerical degeneracy is what they called it. It wasn't the case. Padre Pio never, ever retaliated, never said a word against his archbishop, nor did he ever criticize him, never once. In fact, the angriest this very famous mystic ever got was with a supporter, a Pio defender, who actually attacked the bishop who was attacking him. Now, clearly, Pio had to be shattered, right? But he submitted to the bishop's attack. And he did so with holy resignation. And the same was true of Padre Pio's spiritual director, who uttered no complaint against these actions. Padre Pio would say, God's will be done. The will of the authorities is the will of God. Well, later, when this archbishop, his name was Gagliardi, when he died, Pio immediately said a Mass for him. But with the patience, with long-suffering, with prayer, with supernatural intervention, Padre Pio's Masses would take, they would take almost 2 hours, you know? During the summer of 1923, when Pius XI was about to suspend Padre Pio from all priestly functions, suddenly while he was speaking, a friar appeared to the Pope. He appeared to Pope Pius XI, and he knelt and he kissed his feet, saying, Your Holiness, for the good of the church, do not take this action. He then asked the Pope's blessing, kissed his feet again, and he rose and he left. When the Pope asked, Who let that friar into my chamber? Nobody knew. In fact, the guards strenuously, they denied having seen anybody enter that place. So when this was reported, the Pope grew silent and he ordered nobody to speak of what happened. Pius did, however, ask a cardinal to find out where Padre Pio was at that exact time. And he learned to his bewilderment that this holy Capuchin had been in the choir of his friary, which he was more than 150 miles east of him, saying his daily office and praying. After that, There was no further talk about suspending Padre Pio. His faculties were restored, and ultimately he'd be raised to the altars as a great saint. And one of the great lessons we learned from him was not just his suffering, not just his holiness, but his obedience.
Facts and faith over fear.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Hey, great to be with you. Coming up in just a moment, Michael New is going to be stopping by. But before I get to that, I just want to follow up on one final thought. You know, I was sharing you the story of the heroic example of obedience that Padre Pio had, stripped of his vows. St. Faustina, who is my go-to saint, I just love her. She wrote in her diary about an encounter where she was so absorbed in prayer, and she did her penance, and then Jesus appeared to her. She saw the Lord, and the Lord said to her, he said, "My daughter, know that you give me greater glory by a single act of obedience than by long prayers and mortifications. Oh, how good it is to live under obedience, to live conscious of the fact that everything I do is pleasing to God." Diary entry 894. It's a tough one. I mean, you and I may not be religious, right? We may not be called to that type of obedience. We may not have taken that vow. But we are called to be obedient to the church. We are called to be obedient to her teachings, right? We are called to really be obedient to the legitimate authority above us. And this is something that Satan hates. He hates obedience. Why? Because the Mother of God obeyed God, right? Our Lady and her fiat, she submitted completely to God. It was Satan who was the disobedient one. And it's really a lesson for us in the spiritual life. And I'll talk more about it maybe in the days ahead. I was just struck by that as I heard the Father Pavone story. I thought might be a good perspective. Hey, I only have a couple minutes here. I want to get to Michael New because I also want to share with you some other news too. Very quickly here, everyone knows, or at least I think they should know, that you know when you commit that crime of abortion, you kill a child. So when a mother walks into an abortion clinic and comes back out without her baby, you know, people call it successful. I call it a tragedy. So it's really ironic that a foundation was set up to, quote, and I want to quote this, promote a high-performing healthcare system that achieves better access, improved quality, and greater efficiency, particularly for society's most vulnerable, including low-income people, the uninsured, and people of color. There was a study that claims that pro-life laws lead to greater infant mortality and greater maternal mortality. I'm just going to thumbnail it for you, okay? That's what it says. In other words, they're claiming that the laws that prohibit abortion actually result in more babies and mothers dying. We're in a bizarro world. We really are. I'm joined right now by Michael New. It's good to have him here with us today. He's an associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and a research associate at the Bush School at Catholic University of America. And you can follow him on Twitter at Michael_J_New. News NEW. Michael, you got to fill us in on this. This is bizarre. How can you make a claim like that?
Drew, well, first, thanks for having me. I'll just cut right to the chase. I mean, this is just junk science. It's a very poorly done, sloppily done piece of research that, frankly, should have never seen the light of day and does not deserve the media coverage it's getting. I mean, essentially what they did is they look at health outcomes in about 24, 25 states that have been active in passing pro-life laws. And they find that maternal mortality rates and infant mortality rates are higher in these states. Now, what they don't consider is what we call confounding variables. Okay, there's many things that can affect maternal mortality. There's many things that can affect infant mortality. Mm-hmm. And one important factor they completely neglect is poverty and income. I mean, there's a good body of research that shows that low-income states just tend to fare worse on a variety of public health metrics than high-income states. And many of these states that have been active in passing pro-life laws are southern states, you know, states like Mississippi, Alabama. These states tend to have higher poverty rates. They tend to have somewhat lower incomes. And it's these kind of low incomes and high poverty rates that's driving some of the bad public health outcomes. It's not the pro-life laws. So, again, a very poor, very misleading piece of research doesn't deserve the media coverage it's been getting.
Yeah, let's talk about that. The media is all over this. And just, look, I'm not a scientist, but you can clearly see that. That makes no sense, right? Well, what's with the media embracing this and promoting it? Because I almost didn't talk about it today. I thought, it's not a week I want to touch on this. But I want to offer an antidote, a counter perspective, some truth to really what the media is putting forth, because people see it and they believe that's a reality. What is it about this and why is it that it's been so strongly embraced?
Yeah, it's interesting. It really got a lot of coverage very quickly. ABC News, NBC News, CNN, The Hill, other outlets were quick to cover it. And not only did they cover it, they just covered it in a very, you know, uncritical way. I mean, none of these outlets reached out to me or any other pro-life organization or any other pro-life researcher for some commentary or analysis or feedback. They just published the study and, again, didn't, you know, cast any concerns or, you know, show any interest in a competing viewpoint. So, you know, the media, obviously, especially the mainstream media, has a, you know, vested interest in keeping abortion legal. You know, they tend to be skeptical of studies done by me and other pro-lifers. They tend to amplify those studies done by groups that support legal abortion, you know, and it's tough. But I am glad that we do have places like National Review Online and good radio shows like this one where I can at least communicate, you know, good research and good findings to your listeners.
Yeah, I'm delighted to have you here, and I'm grateful for your constant voice. I mean, the news media was all over this saying pro-life laws harm women and children, and we as you know, defenders of life have got to make sure the truth is out there. Let's talk, if you could, about what happened in Texas. And this was a shocking number to me. I thought, is that true? Abortions in Texas supposedly have dropped 97% ever since that heartbeat law was passed. Of course, you know, have we seen an increase in maternal or infant mortality rates to go along with that drop in abortions? And what do you make of those numbers? I mean, that's something that we should all be rejoicing over.
Well, you know, we obviously need to wait and get, you know, data on public health outcomes from Texas. But, you know, public health has been very strong in Texas. I mean, there was a lot of concern when they cut funding for Planned Parenthood. You people complaining that this will be a disaster. It was not a disaster. They cut funding for Planned Parenthood and, you know, teen pregnancy rates actually fell and fell by a lot. But kind of going to this, sure. I mean, Texas in September 2021, they started enforcing the Heartbeat Act, and then Dobbs came down, and Attorney General Ken Paxton was very quick, and he said, we already have pro-life laws on the books in Texas that protect preborn children, and many abortion facilities just said, you know what, it's not worth doing abortions. We're not going to run that risk. And you saw a big decline. Again, you saw the abortion numbers fall by like 97%. So when pro-life laws are in place and they're enforced and the enforcement is clear, places quit doing abortions. So great development.
I bet there's going to be a lot of babies that are going to be available for adoption in the days ahead, making a lot of families, I'm sure, very happy as well. Hey, Michael, I have about a minute left. I appreciate the short hit with you today. But if people want to read your studies or follow you, what's the best way to connect?
Best way to connect is Twitter. My Twitter handle is @Michael_J_New. That's @Michael_J_New. Again, I have pro-life research, analysis, and commentary just about every day.
That's awesome. Keep up your good work, brother. I know we'll be talking again. I got to leave it there because my news and headlines are closing in on me here, okay? Hey, if we don't talk before Christmas, have a merry one, okay?
Great. Thanks. Same to you and your listeners.
You got it. That's Michael New. You can check him out. Best way, Twitter, of course, but he's an associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and, of course, Bush School at the Catholic University of America. Hey, coming up, your news and headlines are straight ahead. On the other side of that, we're going to revisit a classic. Ace Collins is going to be stopping by. You know, we are in a time in which we're enjoying lots of music. Some of these songs have just an unbelievable history behind them. This may change the way you sing your song, or at least your perspective on the history of it. I'll get into that more when I return. Stay with me.